just trying to watch you guys in the spirit. And what I mean by that is like, several of you this morning when we prayed for you, it was like, this is in the way. My head is in the way. You know, and God wants you in the spirit. And so a question, is that a strong thing in Germany? Yeah, just like in the Netherlands, right? And yeah. So when you close your eyes, so Lord, we want to look at you. We want to gaze at you, Jesus. So Father, I just ask you, Lord. Okay, I just want to do something. Okay, maybe you can stand. Go stand. So, Bob Jones would say that you have your sanctified imagination. Did you ever hear about that? Yeah. Sanctified imagination? Okay. So, your voorstellingsvermogen in Dutch. Yeah. Your geheiligte voorstellingsvermogen. Vermogen, yes. Yeah, almost the same as in Dutch. Okay, so I want to do just a little training, okay? Just close your eyes, okay? And let's see if that works for you as well. So we were created by God to have the ability to see in the spirit. And I believe that with all my heart. So we are able to see the kingdom of God. And so right now, just imagine you stand in your kitchen at home, okay? Close your eyes. Yes, you too. Okay, so you're you're standing in front of the fridge, okay? Can you imagine? Yeah, who sees the fridge right now when you just imagine? It's very easy, isn't it? Okay? Okay, open the door. So you open the door in the fridge, okay? You see that bottle of milk? It's white. Pick it up and you put it on the counter. Okay, and you look at the bottle of milk, you pick up the bottle of milk, and you put it back into the fridge, and you close the door. Okay, just open your eyes. As you see that, everybody see that? I mean, who did not see it? Just honestly. Okay, so everybody has the, yeah? No, she was. Yeah. Okay, so everybody, just sit down again. Okay, so everybody here has the ability to see that, okay? Did you think about that, you know? Did you like, no, that's not possible? No, you just did it, right? You were not reasoning about it, yeah? Who felt still? Why? Who felt the reasoning going on? Like, why is Rita asking this? Daddy. Anybody? Everybody at peace? Yeah? Okay, good. So when you step into the kingdom of God, you know, many times, you know, we have like, okay, this is the protocol. You know, you do this and you do that and it's difficult and, oh, I do my best, you know, and it's like, you know, when the money, no, yes, say your name again? Manuela. Yeah, Manuela, you know, you feel that, oh, you know, you feel that, oh, that deep yearning, very deep drive. But where does it come from? You know, it's like this very deep battle. But you know, God really is like, just loosen up. Just like, loosen up. Just relax. You know, we enter the peace. You know, we enter the shalom of heaven. We enter that place of rest. Hebrew 4. Yeah. So we enter into rest. So who is our rest? Jesus is our rest. Okay? So, for little children, it's very easy. And I want to tell you a story, and I'm still very aware of this thing here. It's Germany, no? This is Germany. Oh, man, this control thing, you know. I know. It's media. It's media art. Okay. So, yeah, just let me tell you a story, and it makes sense later on. I'm part of the Four Scratcher, Rafael Amersfoort. And we were praying in the place where they have the children's meeting. And we were interceding for the children's church. We call it children's church. I mean, I think there's only one church, but anyway, that's another thing. So we were praying, and I saw a vision. And I love these lions at the back. But there was this big lion in the middle of the meeting of the children. It was like Aslan. It was huge. The lion was big as this. Okay? And it was very, can I say, intimidating? It was like strong. Like, you know, I think there's something in the movie that says, Aslan, can we trust you? You know, and you feel the tension like, can I trust you? You know, because if you look the lion in the eyes, you feel that power. It's bigger than anything you've seen. The same, you know, when you see Jesus in the eyes in Revelations 1. You know, it's like, it's fire! Fire! You know, there's fire in the eyes of Jesus. There's strength. It's gentle, like a lamb, but he's also the lion. And so there's this huge lion. And the lion was standing on four legs. And the children were climbing the lion in his face and in the hairs, you know, and they were everywhere. And the lion responded. He did not respond at all. There was no tension in it. Though he was very aware he was the lion, the children were so free to climb in the legs and the tail and, you know, and you would think like, watch out with this lion, right? And so it was a very powerful vision. And then suddenly, the lion, all these kids were climbing. He was giving this one roar, roar, and this shockwave, flop, went through all the kids, and they were all slain in the spirit. And I was like, this is very powerful. And I was like, and then I was asked to lead worship in the children's meeting. And I was like, what to do? Because you guys are very organized, yeah? I mean, you're like, you know, you're sitting on your chairs. You don't run around, you know. You're not screaming. You're not playing football while I'm worshiping. You're not standing on your hands, you know. Because these kids were going nuts. Well, I was, you know, I just played. Was I playing guitar? Yeah. And I was like, you know, we played some songs and, you know, it was fun in the beginning, you know. But then they started manifesting. You know, and you know, I was reminded of the vision. Jesus did not respond, so I did my very best not to react. Yeah, which is kind of interesting. And so there was this internal warfare going on. And then I was like, God, you really, I really want you to meet them, and you want to meet them as well. So Lord, what to do? And God said, have them sit down. And I did this thing with them, like, who sees this? So, and then the Holy Spirit said, just read Revelations 4. So how do you train children in the prophetic? You have let them sit on the floor, and you just read the word. Okay? Yeah. So just listen very carefully. So I'm going to read this scripture, okay? It's in Revelations 4, verse 1. And you all know the scripture, but I'm going to read it. The first few verses. After these things, I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this. Verse 2. Immediately, I was in the Spirit. So immediately, but it's not the small, yeah, it's the big S. I was in the Holy Spirit immediately. So what did he do? He didn't do anything. He immediately, in a split second, he was in the Holy Spirit. And behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he who sat there was like a jasper and a sardius stone in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne, in appearance like an emerald. So, children are sitting on the floor. So I said, okay. I asked them to close their eyes, and I read the scripture. And I said, okay, who saw what I read? And then, who saw the door? Who saw the door? And then, 1, 2, 3, 4, all hands went up. Okay, so go through the door. Go in. Now, then you have to let it go. Yeah? The rest is history. Because we just played a few songs. And I said, go in. And so some of the kids were laying down on the floor. And the Holy Spirit came very powerful on the children. And then I was reminded the roar of the lion. So then, after the 20 minutes, half an hour, when the kids were just back on the earth, they were telling their stories. One after the other was taken by angels into heaven. So they all saw the door. Now, I'm going to read it for you, okay? No tension here, okay? Yeah? But I'm going to read it again. So when Jesus says you have to become like children to enter into the kingdom, do you have to become childish? No. You know, what's the thing with kids? Their innocence. The innocence of children. We need the innocence of children to enter into the kingdom. Why? Because we are taken back by our knowledge of good and evil. No, I can't do that. I cannot enter in. I'm not worthy. I still have these problems. Well, you know, these kids just saw the door and they did not think I am not worthy to enter in. Do you understand? Do you agree with me? You think that children, you know, when they see Papa, they will first think, oh, I did this and I did this and they did. No, they see Papa, they run to Papa and they run in his arms. So when Jesus says you have to become like children to see and to enter into the kingdom, then what should we do? I think we should become like little children. Little, tiny children in the way we enter into the kingdom. Okay? So, that process of me becoming like a little child, when I worship, I become like a little child. I do not care about you guys at all. Because when I am aware and I need to perform for you guys, I'm not looking at Jesus. Then I look at my circumstances. You know, you might have an issue. You might have an issue. You might think, oh, what's Vitsa doing? You'll have an issue. We all have you understand what I mean? So I just look at Jesus and I'm not insecure because I'm not performing. Honestly, when people say, you know, Vitsa, what about your ministry? I say, I don't have a ministry. I minister to Jesus, and I minister to people. If you call that ministry, yes. But, you know, I don't have a ministry. Honestly, God killed ministry. The whole ministry mindset. I want to live my life. Because I don't want to live in a box. I do not have this box's ministry. And then when I'm done with my ministry, I step out the box. And then I have my free spare time. You understand what I mean? Yeah? So it's like, you know, it's like, it becomes like lifestyle. I live my life. I was born like this. And then, and the fight is, the biggest warfare is to be totally 100% yourself. I am Vitsa. That's who I am. God, this is who God made me, and I have to accept it. And because I was born like prophetic, Yeah, you are born with a messy barn. You know what it means? You are born with rejection. You are born with issues. You are born with stuff that you have to overcome. And so to become like a little child, you know, I'm an artist as well. So look, when you look at my art, some people will say, well, you know, a child can do this. Exactly. Exactly. To become like a child. So let's read it again. Okay? Now I want you to close your eyes. And just allow yourself to become like this. Through the Holy Spirit, you're a child of God. Okay? And of course, you're a son and you're a daughter. But you're a child. You understand what I mean? You're loved by the Father. So in this security, in this safe surrounding, the heavenly realms are safe. It's the house of the Father. So here's the door to the house of the Father. After these things, I looked, and behold. Now just look with the eyes of your heart, okay? A door standing open in heaven. Now try to see if you can see it, okay? Try to imagine. So when you meditate on the Word of God, it's like you silence your soul. And you direct your soul to your spirit because Jesus resides in your spirit. Can you just accept that as a little child, that Jesus lives inside of you? The kingdom of God and the door to the kingdom, Jesus says, I am the door. So when you look at the door, actually, you're looking at Jesus. And Jesus loves you. It's unconditional love right now. So when we enter into the kingdom, when you see the door, okay, can I see hands right now? Who can see the door? Be very honest. If you don't see it, it's totally okay. Yeah? Just keep your hands up. Just want to see for a minute. Okay, many hands. Okay. Now, just close your eyes again, okay? Now, maybe you can try by faith, yeah? As a little child again, you open that door. You will see when you come to that door, the door opens. If you don't see the door, don't bully yourself. It's totally fine. Just relax. God loves you. So in the process of learning to engage Jesus, you walk through Jesus like Agate talked about yesterday. His arms open wide. Jesus is the door. He is the door. The cross is the door. So you go through the cross. You can see, so now you start to understand the door has the shape of a cross. Doesn't make any sense. Yeah. Whoa. Okay. Who wants to enter in? Yeah, well, what are you waiting for? Okay, so I'm going to play a song, okay? And while I play a song, you enter in, okay? And you try to observe in your spirit. So don't try to stay away of your reasoning. So how do you do that? How do you focus? By using the word. I use three words. Abide in me. Me is Jesus. Abide, stay. Bleib in mir. Bleib in mir, yeah? Bleib in mir, drei Wörter. Yeah? Stay, abide in me. So you can say that to your soul, abide in me. Soul, listen to me. I will abide in Jesus. Abide in me. So right now you are in heavenly places. So how do you train yourself? Just time. Thank you, Lord, that you give us time right now. So Holy Spirit, would you take us deeper? Would you show us around? Okay, just one question for those. Okay, who went through the door? Can I see hands? Okay. So, yeah, very good, very good. So what you see is that your innocence, this is what the Bible calls ascending. Ascending into heavenly places. So let's go deeper. Holy Spirit, would you show them places? Maybe something in the heart, maybe something you want to plant in the garden of the heart. And Father, just pray that they go deeper into the presence. So the presence of God is a doorway. So here's something I want you to understand and have revelation about. The presence of God is always an invitation to go in. To go up and in. Higher and higher. Higher and higher. Higher and higher. Higher and higher. Like an eagle soar higher and higher in the light of the sun, higher and higher. Deeper, allow yourself to be immersed in that light of the love of God, deeper, deeper and deeper. Upon the rock, just look at Jesus. I will sing. sing praises to the Lord. I will sing praises. I will sing praises. I will sing praises to the Lord. I will sing praises. I will sing praises. I will sing praises to the Lord. High upon the rock, on the mountain, on the Lord, heavenly Zion, I enter Zion, I enter Zion like a child, child of faith, flying in like the eagles, flying with the eagles in the Holy Spirit. It's His will. It's the will of the Holy Spirit. He wills it. Drink from the fountain of living water. 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 Oh, la 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 la. You are the door. And you beckon me to enter in. Hallelujah. Allow yourself to disappear in the love of Jesus. After these things, I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. In heaven. This is your destiny. This is your legacy. To live from heaven. To live in heaven. And so many of us, me included, we have lived like beggars. Begging, Lord, would you let me in? And honestly, we don't understand. We don't know the heart of God. You know, sometimes I speak at DTSs, okay? You know DTS, right? YOM, okay? And one of the things that I say is this. You know, it's quite harsh. And sometimes I'm a little bit black and white. I said, you know what your problem is? And they go, no, we don't. Do we have a problem? Yes, you don't know Jesus. And then all the offense comes up. I don't know Jesus. No, you don't know Jesus. The thing is, we don't know Jesus, actually. We have no clue who he is. Just think about that. You know, but Jesus wants to reveal himself deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. That's why Paul says, I pray that the Father of glory will give you the spirit of wisdom and the revelation in the knowledge of Jesus. We need the revelation of Jesus. You know, the world knows the reality when you walk in that reality. Germany needs the reality of Jesus. The nations need the reality of Jesus. So when they look at you, when they look in your eyes, what do they see? What do they see when they look at you? Do they see a beggar begging for bread, a sip of wine? Or do they see a son? Do they see a queen? Do they see somebody who resides in heaven? Like an ambassador. Like we're supposed to change into the image of who Jesus is. That's his desire, right? It's not like, you know, I'm this sinner, I was saved, and then I live my life. But God wants to destroy that pauper mentality deep inside of us. So he wants to cut the roots. You know, the Holy Spirit is cutting roots in your life. You're going to be so okay. Because you were meant to be. It's in your book of heaven. It's in the book of heaven that you fly. It's in your book that you fly, that you're in heaven. That is your home. 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 After these things, I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking to me, like a shofar. If you hear the shofar, I brought one with me. Maybe I will sound the shofar this afternoon. Everything responds. It's like, you know, like the frequencies, they cover all the frequencies. But it's like, you know, the voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me. So it's like, you know, I would respond, what the heck? What's this? You know, what's this? You know? So we turn, you know, like in Revelations 1. We turn to see. Somehow we have to turn to see. But we are upside down. We have to turn. It's like this very deep voice, this deep repentance. And it's much more than, Lord, I'm sorry. But it's like coming to the right response and to it's like lining out to come in, to stand in the right place, to look in the right direction. Just to total a shift on the inside. And that's what I feel like. I think that's the theme as we prayed this yesterday morning. I turned to see. Let's read it. It's in Revelations 1. Verse 12. And then again, let's start reading in verse 10. Okay, so don't leave that place, okay? Don't go back to your mind. Like, now I have to think again. I don't want you to think. I want you to taste. Can you, today and tomorrow, taste and see that the Lord is good? So this is not a class. This is not a classroom. This is not like, oh, Visa, I like your theology. You know, it's like, you know, waiting, like, do I like the guy or is he nuts? You know, well, just think I'm nuts. That's okay. I am crazy, honestly. Hallelujah. Verse 10, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and I heard behind me a loud voice. A loud voice. What would be loud? A loud voice! A loud voice behind me. It shakes you to the core. Behind me a loud voice, as of a shofar, a trumpet, saying, I am the Alpha, I am the Omega. I am the first and the last. A loud voice. There are voices in heaven. There's thundering, there's shaking, there's lightning. It's awesome. It's powerful. That's heaven. Come on, where do you live? I'm the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what you see, write in the book and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia. Can you imagine your John, the beloved? You hear that storm coming over you. There's like many waters, you hear that voice. And you're like, what? You know? When we stepped into heaven, it was like very gentle. But you know, just allow the Holy Spirit just to totally transform what you see, what you feel, what you sense. And it's also like God gave you ears, He gave you eyes. But also your body is like a temple of the Holy Spirit. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Your body is not disconnected with the kingdom of God. You hear me? Yeah, we're not Greek, we are Hebrew. We're supposed to think Hebraic, not Greek. Good. Verse 12, then I turned to see the voice. And I really feel that God wants, we want to be that voice. But how can we be that voice if we don't see that voice? God gave us the ability. You know, wherever I go, what we teach, what Achaiten we carry, is the teaching like you can see Jesus. You know, because, you know, when the prophetic comes, you know, behold, the word of the Lord came. You know, behold, and I saw. And then the word of the Lord came to me, and he said. But most of the prophetic guys in the Old Testament, the first thing that happened, they would see the word come to them. So behold, see. We see Jesus on the right hand of the Father. And you know, even when John is in heaven, you know, it's like, what does he see? Well, you know, he who sat there was like a jasper and a sardius stone. You know, and you're like, the what? He who sat there, so it's a person, right? He who sat there was like a jasper and a sardius stone in appearance, yeah? And there was a rainbow around the throne. Uh-huh. All right. You know, it's like. But he was not on drugs. He was having this experience. Lord, I want to see that rainbow. That beautiful green, like emerald green rainbow. I want to see that. I want to live there. I turned to see the voice that spoke with me. And having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. So we want to the things. Colossians 3, verse 1. Think about the things in heaven. The things above. The things in heaven. The substance in heaven. You think this is substance? No, heaven has substance. God created the heavens and the earth. So things were created in the heavens first, then from the heavens with the creative light, the created or creative, there's a difference. So when that light shines, so God wants us to live from that place. So I was in the Holy Spirit. Lord, I want to be in you. I want to in the Holy Spirit. Like this little kid, 15 years old, Noah. I mean, he had a lot of disadvantages. You know, not like us, you know. Many of us grew with loving parents, but he was adopted from South Africa. So this little black kid, powerful, passionate, in love with Jesus. You know, and then the parents, well, could you teach our son? Because, you know, he's got these experiences and we don't understand. And then someday he was with us on a mission. And he said, well, Witsa, you know, there are always these two cherubs behind me. You know? Uh-huh. Yes. There are two cherubs. cherubs behind me. Mm-hmm. So, what do you think? You think there are two cherubs behind you? What's the function of a cherub? What's on the mercy seat? With wings. It's like an arch, right? And he turns around and he talks with one of the cherub. And the cherub answers and says, Noah, you're supposed to live here 24/7 in heaven. So, I want you to have this sink in very deep. The Father desires you to live in heaven. That is not just a good idea. That sounds really lovely, Vitsa, but that's not my reality. Exactly. So what I want to see this week is that reality shifts. So he says, I'm learning to stay in heaven also during the day, 24/7, also in the night. And then when I wake up in the morning, you know, I can go to earth and, you know, I can go to school, but even in school, I can stay in heaven. Uh-huh. You know, blows me away, actually. But, you know, he was preaching to me a very deep, deep message. Because that is the reality. You know, the ancient Celts, they knew it. They would go up and in, up and in, up and in, up and in. And they would live in the most simple places. Some even in caves. Skellig Michael. Ever heard of that place? It's in the Atlantic Ocean. But people would come, even kings would come and visit them because the wisdom that they carried. Enoch. He would go visit heaven. First one day on the earth, then a month in heaven, and then one day on the earth. And later it said that he would spend a year in heaven, you know. He was so locked in with heaven that God said, hey, Enoch, why don't you stay here? He was so locked in with Jesus. So we are entering into a season where we are being raptured, okay? So, you know, when Jesus comes back, yes, we will be raptured, yeah? But we are entering into a season where God is teaching the bride to be raptured. Why is that so much important? If you think that the bride is being prepared on the earth, you're wrong. The bride is being prepared in heaven. The bride is being prepared in the bridal room. Let me see if I can find something. Oh, shut up. Lord, come with revelation, Lord. Come, Lord, hit this place with revelation. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. For your love is better than wine. Because of the fragrance of your good ointments, your name is ointment, poured forth. Therefore the virgins love you. Draw me away. And then it says, the king has brought me into his chambers. See, there are heavenly places where God wants to draw you into. So when the door opens, Jesus says, my Father, his house has many mansions, and I am preparing. I am preparing a place for you. And so when I'm ready, I want you to be where I am. Right? John 17 says, I gave them, Father, you gave them your glory, that they would be one, united. Yeah? This morning I sang, Echad. Yeah? Adonai Elohim. Echad, he is one. One, 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 one. And we're supposed to be one in the glory. That is rapture. When we are one with the Trinity. when you are one with the Holy Spirit, when you are one with your lover Jesus, your Savior, your King and your Lord, the oneness, one with the Father, there's love, there's a deep affection in the Trinity. There's a very deep affection because the Father loves the Son and the Son loves the Father. I even wrote a song about it. It's on the album. Maybe this afternoon I want to just, you can listen to the song. It's good. The Holy Spirit loves the Father. The Holy Spirit loves Jesus. There's a very deep affection and passion in the Trinity. I even had a discussion about the song. No, it's theological, not right. And you know, and the guy said, I don't want to be a party pooper, but you know, the song is not right. You cannot sing it. Who says that the Holy Spirit loves? I said, well, I met him. He loves, you know, he loves Jesus. He's madly in love with Jesus. He's madly in love with me. But you know, because of issues, maybe mommy issues, you know, we have problem to love on the Holy Spirit and to believe that the Holy Spirit loves me. It's one of the issues that I'm working on. But the King has brought me into his chamber. So when the door opens, there are many places where you can go in the Holy Spirit. So one of the things, one of the changes I believe in the prophetic movement, what we will see in the coming years is from gifting into governing. And we'll talk about that more. Yeah? Gifting, governing. Yeah? Governing has to do with his house. Okay? A servant works in the kitchen. Yeah? And there's nothing wrong, of course, working and keep on doing your thing. I love your food. Yeah? But in the kingdom, Jesus talks about, you know, you're my friends. Yeah? You're no longer a slave. Yeah? And so many in the Netherlands and probably in Germany as well have a slave mentality. Yeah? I don't know how it is in Papua New Guinea, Sam, but like this slave mentality. You know, we serve, you know, it's like but again, it's like beggars. It's not out of a identity that is made whole as a son. A son stays in the house. A slave cannot stay in the house forever. So when you have a slave mentality, it is like a magnet that pulls you out of the presence of Jesus. So that's why God wants to touch you guys this week in your identity. And it doesn't matter how long you know Jesus. I'm working on this day by day. What is drawing you out of the presence of Jesus? I mean, I believe that you guys have very good teaching. I mean, I went through the stuff a little bit. Monica, I'm really touched. It touches me. Because you guys really talk about identity. I don't care. I just mentioned it again. Because I really believe that God is really, really serious about it. You're his son. You're his son. Rudy Carrell. No, you're Rudy Krieger. So Rudy, you're his son, right? So that reality has to come very deep. So what is pulling you out of the presence of God? What is that magnet inside of you that somehow wants to have your attention? Why is it stronger? Just ask yourself the question. Why is it stronger than the face of Jesus? I have to ask myself that question. Why is it? If Jesus is the Alpha and Omega and all powerful and like, whip, and we're gone. We're out of the presence. It's like, wait a minute. You know, where's that deep affection in myself? You know, what is pulling me astray? I turned to see. Lord, I just pray right now, Lord, that we would have revelation when we turn to see. Lord, we want to meditate on your word, and I pray that your word would become like a sword. And Father, whatever issue it is, Father, I just pray that in Germany, Lord, men would rise up and stand up on their feet next to the women, Lord. You know, I'm so blessed with powerful men and women in Germany already, but I want more. I want more. And it doesn't matter if you're in the 50s or the 60s or the 70s or the 80s or you're like 100 years old. I mean, this afternoon we're going to talk a little bit about the courts. You know, and then you hear the story of Abraham. Was not there yet. So, but Abraham, you know, had no kids, dried up, you know, 99 years old. Can you imagine that God, you know, shows up, you're 99. You're 99. No kids. You know, and then, you know, God is putting your life upside down. How is that possible? What did God do in Abraham to making him like a young lad again and making love with his wife? Just let us say it like it is. They went to bed, they had sex, and they had a baby. 99 years old? Come on, that's impossible. Right? That's impossible. Yeah, but it's possible. The power of the Holy Spirit. You know? So somehow love was ignited, right? It was like he fell. I mean, Sarai, she was one of the most beautiful women on the planet, of course. But something happened. I turned to see the voice. You know, David says, Lord, you said I should seek your face. Your face I will seek. So when you close, let's close our eyes again. And I want you to look at the face of Jesus. I want you to look at the face of Jesus. And what do you see? And maybe you just whisper what you see. Just whisper it in the atmosphere, what you see when you look at the face of Jesus. Just very softly, but let me hear it. What do you see? What do you see? Just speak it out. Speak it out in the atmosphere, because faith comes by hearing. And hearing the word of God. Just speak it out for yourself. Just whisper it. I don't have to hear it. But whisper it in love. Whisper it in love. Whisper it in love. Your eyes, Jesus. Your gentleness, Jesus. And Lord, right now, Lord, I ask you that you would take away the veils. Take away the veil. Take away the veil. Not the whale, but the veil. Take away the veil. The Bible says, but we see Jesus crowned with honor and glory. But we see Jesus crowned. When you look at Jesus, look at him as your king. He's crowned. When you look at Jesus, see that cloud of the glory, the glorious presence where everything is possible. Right now, the Holy Spirit is touching you. This glory is touching you, transforming what is dormant, the seed that was dead, that died. You know what I see? Like dreams died. Promises died. But God is awakening your heart again. God is awakening your heart again. What do you see? Look at the crown. And when you transform into the image of God, guess what you worry? you wear a crown as well. Yeah. And so maybe somebody said something to you or did something to you in the past. And the enemy came and took away your crowns. This afternoon, I want to talk about that as well. I want you to retake what was yours. You are crowned with beauty and glory. You are the queen that stands in the presence of the king. So when you see Jesus, you have to understand who you are. Who are you? That's a good question. Who am I? My goodness. So if I stand in the presence of the king, then what does that make me? It makes you beautiful. Because when you stand in the beautiful presence of Jesus, it makes you beautiful. I always see, you can have the most grumpy person, put them in the presence of Jesus, into the glory, into the beauty, and they change. Something happens. That's what I love about it. I turn to see the voice that spoke with me. Okay, so let's ask some questions right now. Just stay in that presence, okay? Feel it. Know you're there. Don't go away. Teach yourself to stay in that presence. What do you see? Maybe somebody just speak out in a few words what you see. When you look at Jesus, what do you see? Anybody? Anybody else?
I see his smile.
Yeah.
And his face is full of mercy.
Yeah.
And yes, she said, you want to go and want to hug you.
Yeah. Wow.
Yes, peace.
Yeah. Wow. Come on. Rudy, what kind of emotions do you feel when you see that?
It's something which is not made by mankind.
Yeah.
This is simply God.
Yeah. Can you describe what the emotions that Jesus feels for you? Anybody else? Thank you, Rudy. It's very special. It's really touching. Things from your heart, he takes away. Stuff that covers your heart like a veil. Wow. Anybody else? He's smiling. This deep, deep smile. Can you feel that? Just embrace that. Just thank you, Jesus, for that smile. Just thank him. Thank you, Jesus, that you smile at me. And while this happened, I see the angels right now in the room just lighten up. They are lightening up because they see you guys get this revelation, because they love it when you catch this. They love it when you love on Jesus. It's like this beautiful blue light. Thank you, Lord. Wow. Then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me. For 17, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. When I saw him, and when you see Jesus, there's this very deep response in your heart. And Lord, I bless it, Lord. Father, I just pray, Lord, from today on, Lord, you're gonna change our perspective of what we think we see. When I saw him, right now we're in this council setting. It's almost like this ecclesia, this divine sod, with Almighty God, with Jesus at the center. So if we want to stand in the council of God, and I hope to talk more about it maybe this afternoon or tomorrow, but where is the council of God? Who is at the center of the council of God? It's Jesus. And it starts with, what do you look at? You look at his face. And you're at peace. So this is a place of divine shalom. Can you see it? Can you feel it? Because every fiber of your being, every fiber of your bone needs to learn to be at rest and to be okay. It's okay. You're okay with God. You're at peace with God. How does that feel? Woohoo! But you know, I did this and this and this and this. Yeah, I did a lot of stuff. If I tell you my story, I mean, I didn't really tell my story, but if I would tell you my story, well, you're happy that you're alive. Happy that you did not kill yourself, because you must have been totally fed up with yourself. Yes, I was. And to know that I, as a son, I can be in the house. So God really wants to ignite in you. When you look at Jesus, you change from glory to glory. For me, the core of the prophetic, what we want to teach is this. It's the face of Jesus. You know, what will happen when the prophetic people in Germany would start from that place where they see the risen Jesus, the resurrected Christ, where they see his face? How do you prophesy from that place? That transforms everything. It transforms the way you look at Germany. It transforms the way you worship. Thank you, Jesus. So I want to end this session. It's almost 12:45. I think it's good to just to relax and have food. Dial down, otherwise we just go cold turkey to the table of food. But know this, that even at the table, just allow the Holy Spirit, as you're just chapping away and eating, allow the Holy Spirit, just know that, you know, Psalm 23, it talks about, you know, my cup overflows. You know, you prepare a table. We saw the Holy Spirit move so powerfully when we would have a barbecue and just sit down and have a glass of wine or a beer. And then the Holy Spirit would come, boom. And the spirit of prophecy would hit the place. Because Jesus loves to be at the place where food and fellowship. Yeah. So it's like, you know, looking in the eyes of a lion. I don't call myself a prophetic painter. I don't want to be in that box either. So I'm an artist. I feel I am an artist. But one day God said to me, I want you to make a prophetic painting. I was like, okay. So I made a prophetic painting because the question is, I want to see the eyes of Jesus. And he said, can you face the lion? Can you face the lion? I said, I don't know. Just Lord, okay, yes. I want to see the lion. So I made a 1x160 with beautiful bright colors in the eyes of the lion. It's, I think it might even be somewhere on Facebook. But I sold it, so it's not here anymore. But it was a lion that was running towards you. And as I was painting the eyes, it took me a long time, and I was painting the other eye, and the shades and the colors and the very strong. And I would be sleeping in the night, and those eyes would penetrate me. I worked on that painting for a week. Day and night, I saw the eyes of a lion, and then I understood why I had to paint it. Those eyes were totally penetrating. So just imagine, I am dreaming, but the eyes of a lion penetrate me even. It's burned on my eyes. It's like, years ago, we had this shoot game with this plus. Now, I get crazy. You want to make me nuts? Have me watch a shooting game, you know, with this plus. You know, but, you know, even in the night, you know, my heart would pound, you know, and because I would see that plus in my imagination. It was not good, you know. I said, get it out, you know. And so I was like, am I going to do that again? But this was the same. But this was the lion. The eyes of the lion were penetrating me. And I knew it was Jesus. And God used this painting just to penetrate me. So right now, just for 2 minutes, close your eyes. And Holy Spirit, I ask you that you would reveal the eyes of the lion. I would ask you that you would reveal, that they would see the eyes of the lion. That these eyes would totally penetrate them. Gaze into the eyes of the lion of Judah. It's like I feel this roar. The lion is roaring against the iniquity in your bloodline. Where God says, enough is enough. And he's drawing the sword into the sand. He's drawing a line today. But it says, enough is enough. My church will know me who I am. I'm the Lion of Judah. And let him draw you in his face, the eyes of the lion. And what I want you to do this afternoon, I want you to make a little piece of art for yourself where you draw the eyes of the lion. Is that okay with you? It can be very simple. But I want you to do it. As you saw it here in your spirit, man. Maybe you didn't see anything. Then just go to internet. Now, how do the eyes of a lion look like? Study it. And then go back. And allow him to penetrate you. Cool, huh? I love that stuff. So, Lord, I want to close this right now. Holy Spirit, would you seal this? Would you seal this, Holy Spirit? And Father, what you're drawing, the stuff that you're drawing out of them, and the stuff that you're pulling into them, of the kingdom. Lord, I want to bless it right now. Lord, seal it. Protect it, Lord. And Lord, I bless the angels. Father, I bless the angels, Lord, with new manna. Lord, with the open heaven, Lord, that they could come before your throne, Lord, for new assignments. So I speak new assignments over every angel in this room in the name of Jesus. And I say, be refreshed in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. We honor you. We love you guys. Thank you. We never see you, almost never. But we love you. We love your companionship, your protection. We love you guys. Thank you so much for being here with us. We love you guys, though we don't understand a thing of you. Would you just bless us, Lord, right now in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.